This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. As political turmoil in the Arab world challenges personal and national identities, contemporary art traces the transformation. Rania Matar is a photographer whose work focuses on female adolescence and womanhood. Her work is featured in the exhibition She Who Tells a Story. It's currently open at the Ackland Art Museum in Chapel Hill, and Rania Matar joins us now on The State of Things. Rania, welcome.
Hi, Frank. Nice to be here.
It is great to have you here and talk about this work, because I think in a lot of ways, and you tell me, that this exhibit is really trying to shatter some stereotypes and get at some more authentic and complicated identities in a place that we Americans think of as this sort of single unit, the Middle East, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this exhibition seems to be timely ever since it opened in Boston 6 years ago.
Tell me more about the exhibit itself and what's the intent?
Well, the exhibition, as you said, is titled She Who Tells a Story, Women Photographers from Iran and the Arab World. It was originally curated at the MFA, for the MFA Boston, by creator Kristen Gresh, and it includes 12 photographers, 8 from originally or living in Arab countries, and 4 from Iran. It focuses on women and their perception of their own experiences in this area. And again, as you mentioned, when I say we now, also live in the United States, so often people tend to think of the Middle East as one entity, and here you're seeing very different voices from very different artists.
You have chosen a series that I think is a fascinating frame to try to understand this. You take young women in some ways in their most intimate space, in their bedrooms, right, in their rooms, and show the various faces of the women who you've met. Tell us more about that series.
Well, this series originally was inspired by my own daughter, who was 15 at the time. And my earlier work was only focusing on the Middle East. And I decided at that point I wanted to photograph in the U.S. And I realized how much my daughter was transforming right before my eyes. So this project actually started in the Boston area, focusing originally on my daughter and her friends and friends of my daughters. And at some point, I moved away from people I knew because I felt like it was important to discover these young women without being in any way associated with the mother. So it was like I would go in with a blank slate. But at some point through this project, pretty early on, I realized that I was exactly one of those women, 25 at that point, 25 years earlier, in a different country, different culture. And that there is such a universality to growing up and to coming to terms with your sense of identity at this very important age. So I decided to start photographing girls in Lebanon and in the Middle East, and basically mainly relating to my own identity of being Lebanese from Palestinian origin. So I focused on young women in the United States where I live, but also on young women in Beirut and in Lebanon and in Palestinian refugee camps.
And take me to the set now of these shoots, because this is the series I think you're calling A Girl and Her Room, right?
Mm-hmm.
So take me to the set, because this is, again, it's kind of an intimate space. We're crossing cultural boundaries. In some ways you have a lot to share, but you have crossed a border. How do you gain access to these spaces?
It's like with everything, access is basically the most important thing. And then it's up to you to make whatever you can out with it. So it first started again with like daughters of my friends and friends of my daughters. But then at some point I started reaching beyond the circle of people I knew. So I would literally stop, we want young women, girls on the street, at the supermarket. And I would approach them and just say, I'm doing this project. Can I just take your email and send you more information about it? And most of them, I would say I got a 95%, collaboration approval rate, and it worked out. And eventually, if they enjoyed the experience, then they connect me with their friends, and the circle kept growing. And then it's up to me to really make them comfortable. And it was a process that I realized you have to take your time, make them feel like they're participating in the project, which they really are. And I think they really got it. And I'm so thankful that they were willing to share with me their most intimate space and share it to everybody that's looking at this work, really. And what was important for me is including the Middle East was, I mean, we live at a time where it's, the rhetoric is very much them versus us, and we tend to focus on the differences. We tend to think of women from the Middle East very much as, I want to say one-dimensional, like with the perception that's now perceived often in the media. We focus too much on the veil. And my experience growing up in Lebanon was very different. It was important for me to focus on that shared humanity and the universality of growing up as a woman.
Well, you certainly do that in the photos, in the sense that we get a very different picture, almost a disorienting picture. I think of your photo of Christilla or Christilla. Maybe you can describe that one for us and tell us how that would shake up a few stereotypes.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention her, because at first when I'll talk about the photo, but it was first exhibited at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, people would come to the curator and say, we thought you're only showing Arab women. And she said, I am only showing Arab women. So I love that this was the reaction people were having. And this picture eventually became the cover of my book for that reason. So it portrays a blonde, or maybe fake blonde, young woman in her room with a big Marilyn Monroe poster behind her. She's wearing Crocs. She has a pink bra hanging in her room. And if one gets close, you could see all the videos she has, the DVDs kind of stacked next to her, that you really could be in a bedroom in the United States and not know it. And for me, that was important because, you know, this is reality in Lebanon, and very different in many spaces.
And as you said, when you, that was part of the exhibit, you know, people, or at least one person, came up to you and said, well, wait a minute, where are the Middle Eastern women here? Right?
Yeah.
So that's how that shakes that up. And talk about the differences too, because you went, there are pictures of girls in the room in Lebanon where you grew up, and then also Palestinian girls in refugee camps in Beirut. This had to be, I would think, a very different experience.
That was a very different experience. And again, I mentioned, I mean, I'm originally from Palestinian parents. So for me, this whole project was very much about the sense of identity of the, you know, the girls I'm photographing, but very much also my own identity, my daughter's identities. And so I did, it was important for me to include, you know, these young women in the refugee camps. And, you know, these girls don't have their own bedrooms. They have to share a space. And that's not even a bedroom. It's a bedroom where the family sleeps that turns into a living room during the day. So they wrap the futons. But I found what was endearing about it is they each would have a little area in their bedroom that they would personalize, whether it was on the wall or in the closet. So there was always this sense of making one area your own. But also what was important for me, even if the space was very different, there was something about these young women going through the same transformations at the same time that for me was very touching. Even though their lives will be very different in the future, they're still navigating the sense of becoming an adult and defining your goals in life, but also being a girl, a little girl at the same time. So there's always that duality that I found common to all these girls I photographed.
You know,
it was very touching. Sorry.
I wouldn't. No, it's perfectly all right. That's. I wanted to hear that, but I also, and I wanted to ask you too, that I assume that most artists want this journey. Whenever they go on a journey like this, there should be some discovery, some surprise. But you go into it as a photographer with something in mind as well. This idea of trying to capture identity, the universality of coming of age, and the very different circumstances that these young women would find themselves in. But for you, how much of it did you actually discover, or did you not know before you were entering into these personal spaces?
You know, it's very interesting, because what I want to portray and what I discovered were actually very different things. So what I want to portray with that universality and that shared humanity, and that I was aware of it, because as I was photographing these girls, I realized that, you know, I was the same. Maybe the posters in my bedroom were of different era of, you know, famous rock stars, but there was still, there was that commonality that was just very present. What I learned and what I discovered in a way as a mother, it made me understand my own daughters better, if that makes any sense. Because I discovered being alone with these girls in their room, they let me into their vulnerability as well. Even though some of the ones, when I'd stop them on the street to ask them to photograph them, they looked like tough and what we might want to perceive as a typical teenager, if there's such a thing. But when I went into their bedroom and worked with them, I saw another aspect of them. And it really made me much more understanding of my own daughters. Like, these girls were showing me a side that they might not want to show their mother, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense, and I think I'm not surprised at all to hear you say that, because that was on what was on my mind, in fact, as I asked the question, because you said earlier, very early when we began to speak, that you watched your daughter change right before your very eyes. And of course, anybody who's had a child who's moved into adolescence knows what that means at one level. But also, you're talking about different cultures. You were raised in one place, and now you're here in the United States. So when you said that to me, I thought, is she talking about the transformation in adolescence, or is there a cultural transformation here that she never experienced herself? How much of that did you become more enlightened about, and how much of that was part of your, part of the, one of the questions that you asked yourself, one of the transformations that you saw taking place?
Well, you know, on some level, I don't know how far back I want to go. I'm not even trained as a photographer. I was trained as an architect. I did a lot of art in college. I became a photographer, I mean, originally to take better pictures of my kids. And that kind of, I mean, in a way, defined my work moving forward, because it did follow my daughters through the years. As they're getting older, all my work has been following the different stages of life like that through girlhood. But I wanted to, after September 11, I started wanting to tell a different story of the Middle East. And that for me was important in that work very much. So it kind of came full circle, because my earlier work was mainly photographing in Palestinian refugee camps in areas I did not know of Lebanon, because I grew up in a civil war, so my circle was very small. So I discovered a lot through my photography of Lebanon, and that project in different ways helped me get to that point. I don't know if that really answers your question.
Yeah, I think it does a little bit. I mean, I do wonder if you were curious about your daughter's own sort of cultural grounding in this country, and if it felt very different from yours, and if you were watching this person become someone who you didn't know in a way, because culturally she was raised in a very different place.
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw more similarities. I mean, they reminded me of my teenage years in the sense that I wasn't expected to be as much reminded of, even though I was raised in a different place at a different time during a civil war, they were more similarity and reminded me of, you know, my relationship to my girlfriends, being interested in boys. I mean, all of that was just, I was surprised how much it was. There was more of the same.
Tell me more about the change. You said you started out as an architect, and were only taking photographs to sort of document your own family history. When did it change for you? When did you decide that it needed to be your profession?
I don't think I ever decided. It kind of just happened. So after September 11, I mean, originally the earlier work I was doing, I was taking a lot of photography workshops, and I was focusing on my children. I fell in love with the medium and with telling a story through photography. So the pictures I took of my kids were very different from what I thought I'd be making. And after September 11, all the news again was about this them versus us, and it shattered my whole sense of identity. By then, you know, I was raising my kids here. I had become an American citizen, and all of a sudden, when somebody's putting you in a box of them versus us, it's like, where do you fit? And it's, in a way, starting to photograph in the Middle East was for me to come to terms with my sense of identity, but also wanted to portray a different story of the Middle East than what we hear on the news. So it became very gradual. In 2002, I went with a cousin of mine to a Palestinian refugee camp right outside Beirut. It was about I don't know, 5 minutes by car if there's no traffic. And I was shocked that people lived in those conditions. So I think all these elements made me go in that direction a little bit. And then I remember showing the work. The first time I was showing my work, I was showing pictures of my kids and the early work I took in the refugee camps. And I remember somebody telling me, you need all your work to be as intimate as the images you made of your children. And that was probably the best advice anybody gave me. And it was such a turning point for me. And it stayed with me through my whole work. And as you talk about intimacy in the girls' bedrooms, that kind of is really that what it seems like the organic continuation of the work that I had started.
You talk about your work being in some ways an exploration of your own identity. Has your idea of that identity changed, and how so?
That's a good question. And I don't know. I think we keep evolving. And, you know, like this work I did inspired on my older daughter when she was 15. Then I did a project called L'Enfant Femme inspired on my younger daughter when she was 12. And that was about the prepubescent, very fleeting moment when girls are turning into women. And then when my daughter left for college, I did a project on mothers and daughters because I realized my role as a mother was changing. So yes, it's always an exploration of my own identity. Maybe I should slow down and kind of think about what I'm discovering. I see myself and I see my daughters in all the work I've been making. That's something I'm very aware of. Whether I'm photographing a mother daughter in a Palestinian refugee camp or in an upscale area of Beirut or in the United States, I mean, I relate and I see myself in all those mothers, and I see my daughters in those daughters, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense. I've been told that your work, your series, A Girl and Her Room, which is part of the larger exhibit at the Ackland right now, the exhibit at the Ackland is She Who Tells the Story, that early on you didn't really see how your work fit in that larger exhibit.
You know, with the first one, I was nervous because all of a sudden I was focusing on my work, and all of a sudden I'm seeing it open to the public and exhibited next to 11 other women. And I had to kind of see what my role is in that show. And it feels vulnerable. I felt like many of the other work was very political, and it took me a while to realize why, in a way, my work was important in there. I feel like, you know, I'm just portraying women as regular women, even whether they're Arabs or Lebanese, Palestinian, Muslim, Christian. They're just women going through those stages. I'm photographing that it's okay for not all women are veiled in the Middle East. Also, we have Christians and Muslims in the Middle East. I mean, eventually I owned up that it was important to have my work in there.
What are you working on now?
I'm working on a series that called She, and again, it's the girl in her room, the girls are in their own surrounding, and now the She project is when the girls left home, so I'm photographing them with the relationship to the environment they're finding themselves in once they leave home and how they adapt to that. And again, I took the work again to Lebanon. It started when I was doing a residency in Ohio, in rural Ohio, and I fell in love with the landscape. And then, you know, now the walls in Lebanon and these textured walls and these buildings that are left over from the Civil War that are very much part of the backdrop where these girls are growing up became important as part of the backdrop. And with what's happening in the news in Lebanon today, I feel like it's very important for me to portray the strength of the women I'm photographing. So I'm trying to be very much to have it be a collaboration and about empowerment.
You can see the work of Rania Matar on exhibit at the Ackland Museum of Art as part of the exhibit She Who Tells a Story, Women Photographers from Iran and the Arab World. It's at the Ackland Museum of Art, and it's open until December 1st. Rania Matar, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. And, you know, it might be one of the last venues, so I urge people to go see it. The show traveled a lot, and I don't know if this might be the last home for it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Just ahead, the music of the Thomas Taylor Quintet. Stay tuned.
Where I'm from, small town. big lights might drown from the years of the tears that been falling. What's my purpose? What's my calling? I'm going all in. Life is crazy, but it's the life that God gave me. So I praise DA, saved me, paved the way for me, but my hometown made me.